know about you guys, but I felt like I just got to hug all of you at the same time and hug Jesus. So that was powerful for me. I'm also a swayer, so I got to like sway and not feel like the confines of the pews. So anywho, thanks for joining us. Hi, my name is Amber, and I am beyond happy that you guys chose to spend your Thursday nights here with us. I am on volunteer staff here at Basic, and like Stilly and Gibb said earlier tonight, we only have two more Basics left this semester. So whether this is your first time or your 50th time at Basic, we all have one thing in common. There is one big change that we are all about to experience in the next 3 weeks. Summer. And we are kicking off our last series of the night, the last series of the year tonight. It's called Now What? And this year at Basic, we have had so many conversations about God and who he is and how he is at work in our lives. And now we are about to experience a disruption to our routines, our communities, and even our goals. Summer. Makes me think of like High School Musical 2 where they're like, summer, summer, summer. So in summer, our Thursday night Basic programming will stop. Life groups will stop. Some of us will move home and will no longer be in the Cedar Valley. Some of us will stay in the Cedar Valley, but school will be done and or summer classes will start up or our jobs will start and pick up and we'll take on extra shifts. Some of us will keep working our full-time jobs or our part-time jobs, but we will all experience change because it feels like the world revolves around the school year. Some of us will go work at a Bible camp over the summer, and life will become saturated with God all day, every day. Some of us will graduate. Some of us will move to a new city. Some of us will start new jobs. Some of us will quit our current jobs. Some of us have absolutely no idea what life is going to look like in 3 weeks or 3 months from now. Each of our relationships with God are going to change over the summer, whether we like it or not. Some of our relationships will grow stronger, and we'll experience this mountaintop high with God. Some of our relationships will plateau, and some of our relationships are going to run and jump and like catapult off a cliff, and then it's going to fall so low that we like forget that God even exists, right? And these changes to our lives change our relationship with God. So our hope with this series, Now What?, is that we can set ourselves up for a summer in which we can listen, respond, and engage in our faith. We want to walk away from this series and into summer with the confidence that we will continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Tonight, I am going to talk about how we can grow in our relationship with God through spiritual disciplines. Sound great, but like, what's a spiritual discipline? Let me tell you. A spiritual discipline is a routine that allows us to intentionally connect with God. Spiritual disciplines increase our awareness of God in our lives and in the world around us. We choose to engage with spiritual disciplines because we want to know God more. We want to experience him more, and we want him to be an active relationship in our life. Spiritual disciplines are something that we get to do out of love and respect for God. Through spiritual disciplines, we get to experience a friendship with God. But what does it mean for God to be our friend? Yes, God is the Father and the creator of the universe, and he craves intentional, intimate relationships with us. A friendship with God means that we get to be known without being judged. We get to feel comforted and seen, and we get to be loved simply because of who we are. So I want you to take a second and think about your deepest, most honest and authentic, loving and stable relationship with another person here on earth. A friendship with God is everything in that relationship and so much more. A friendship with God is like the most personal relationship that we can ever engage in. And just like friendships here on earth that take time and effort, a friendship with God takes time and effort. Spiritual disciplines create the space for our friendship with Jesus to grow. So let me tell you about a time that I experienced a massive life change and did not have spiritual disciplines. I went to UNI for undergrad, and I was super plugged in. I went to basic every Thursday night. I led a life group. I was in a life group. I helped out at Chaos. I met with my spiritual mentor at least once a month. I was the leader of events team, and I was a part of the production team. All of my friends were Jesus followers, and my life during college was saturated with Jesus. And then everything changed. After I graduated from UNI, I moved to Mankato, Minnesota for grad school. I was the first in my friend group to move, so when I lived 2 hours and 45 minutes north, everyone else that I loved still lived in Cedar Falls. And don't get me wrong, they experienced a lot of change too while I was gone. But when I was in grad school, I was on one campus, in one building, in one teeny tiny little lounge that had like a little sliver of a window for like 4 days a week, like 8 to 12 hours a day, okay? I also lived with three girls that were in my cohort, so we were together all the time, all the time, all the time. And I drank an insane amount of coffee and I never ate enough food. I also was drinking way too much alcohol, like 4 to 5 days a week. And sometimes I would drink every day for 2 weeks at a time because that's what everyone else in my life was doing. I was desperate for a close community like I had at home. In Mankato, my only spiritual discipline was a weekly Bible study that technically I was leading, but let me tell you, I didn't feel like a leader. Because none of the spiritual disciplines that I created in college continued to exist in grad school. In college, I surrounded myself with people who loved Jesus. But in grad school, I didn't, which means that I did not have people in my life asking me where I saw God at work. So I just felt super awkward talking about God, and I stopped trying to bring him up. I rarely read my Bible. I never listened to Jesus music. I went to a college ministry one time, and I didn't feel welcomed it didn't feel authentic, so I didn't bother coming back. I also tried to go to church on a Sunday morning, but I still didn't feel welcomed. My relationship with God suffered big time. God continued to choose me, but I stopped choosing God. In grad school, without my spiritual disciplines, I became a different person. My relationships with people back home suffered because Jesus was no longer the foundation of our friendships anymore. And I experienced a big disconnect when I moved home because I was used to living a life of drunkenness in Minnesota in which I was super distant from God. I realized that I didn't have any spiritual disciplines anymore. I'd stopped putting in the work to maintain a friendship with Jesus. Transitions are hard. Change is hard. In summer, although it is full of sunshine and warm weather, it can be really hard when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. But God knows that transitions and change are hard. We got to celebrate Easter a few weeks ago, and we got to remember that Jesus lived and died and resurrected. Talk about change. See, Jesus knew what change was like too. Jesus had to prepare to die and leave all of his best friends here on earth alone without him. And the disciples experienced change too because they had to figure out what life looked like without Jesus. They had just spent every waking and sleeping moment with a man that they loved and respected, and then they had to continue living for him without him. Talk about change. We are going to spend some time in John chapter 15 tonight, and in this section, we are reading through a portion of the Last Supper. In John chapter 15, Jesus has already washed his disciples' feet. He has predicted Judas's betrayal. He has predicted Peter's denials, and he has comforted the disciples by promising the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, Jesus wants to set up his best friends with truth, encouragement, and spiritual disciplines because he wants them to know that they are not alone. God is with them, and they can continue their friendship with God. So now I want you all to take out a Bible and turn to John chapter 15. If you did not bring a Bible with you tonight, there should be one in the pew in front of you, and I really want you to hold a physical Bible and a pen because we're going to be marking up scripture tonight. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version, but any version that you have is going to be super great. In John chapter 15, Jesus uses this analogy of a vine to help us understand what it looks like to grow in our relationship with God. And I especially love this passage because I really love plants. And I will absolutely be geeking out a little bit over some of the plant terminology, so just bear with me, okay? Okay, John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 1. So Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." I want you to circle the phrase "true vine." A true vine is the main plant that connects the roots to the rest of the plant. So it's like the main stem that all of the smaller branches and leaves grow off of. Here, Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. Jesus is our connection to God. I also want you to circle the word gardener. Gardener is someone who oversees and takes care of the garden. They do the dirty work to make the beauty happen. They plant and prune the plants. They control the weeds and the pests. They clear the pathways, and they provide fertilizer and water. God is our gardener. God takes care of us. And God does the dirty work in our lives so that we can experience his love and his beauty and his kindness. Underline the word prunes. Pruning means to remove the part of the plant or the tree or the vine that is not required for growth or that is actually harmful for the development of a healthy plant. So when a gardener prunes a plant, they cut off the unhealthy branches and throw them into a separate pile. When we do not engage in a mutual commitment with God, we create separation between ourselves and God. And as a fellow plant lover, I have an emotional attachment to my plants. So when I have to cut off a withering leaf or a branch, I actually get super, super sad. But I have to remind myself that pruning the plant actually allows it to be more healthy. Because then the plant only has to focus on growing instead of sending all of its energy to that withering leaf or branch. And when I prune my plants, a new, beautiful, healthy leaf or branch starts to grow where I cut off the withering one. So yes, I think that God gets sad when we wither in our relationship with him because he wants us to stay connected to him. But God wants us to grow and to be healthy. God wants us to stay connected with him because God wants a friendship with us. Next, I want you to underline the phrase "bears fruit." So to bear fruit means to be successful. But in a way that might surprise you, bearing fruit and being successful in God's eyes means that we are loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. So when we remain in a friendship with Jesus through spiritual disciplines, we become better at loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. Okay, now, before we get ready for this next section, I want you to underline each time Jesus says the word "remain." Remain. Are you ready? Here we go. Jesus says to his disciples, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I don't know if you're counting, but I think it says it five times. So if Jesus says a word, like the word remain, five times, it has to be really important. The word remain means to stay, to continue to exist, to choose, to commit, to abide, accept, and obey. Here, Jesus is talking about mutual commitment. Jesus chooses to commit to us, and we get to choose to commit to Jesus. Jesus chooses you, and he chooses me. Jesus chooses your boss and your professor and Caitlin Clark and the homeless person down the street and your best friend and your worst enemy. Jesus chooses all of us. And we get to choose him too. When we remain in a friendship with God, he will make known to us the strengths, the gifts, and the talents that he created us with. And we get to use our strengths and gifts and talents to love God and love others when we stay in a friendship with him. In these verses, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to continue choosing a friendship with him even after they experience this upcoming change. Jesus extends us that same invitation. Jesus wants us to remain in him by continuing to choose a friendship with him when we experience change. I'm going to skip a few verses, 6 through 13, and Jesus in these verses talks about what happens when we don't choose him, and he continues to encourage us and the disciples to remain in his love. So now we are going to pick up in John 15, verse 14. Jesus says to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Circle the word friends. Here, Jesus is making sure that his disciples know that, yes, he was their rabbi, teacher, and leader for the last 3 years, and he was their friend. Jesus is making it clear that the relationships he had with the disciples were honest and loving, open, intimate, intentional. Jesus wants to be our friend, too. Yes, we get to encounter and respect God's almighty power and wisdom. Yes, Jesus invites us to experience his honesty, intentionality, openness, intimacy, and love through friendship. Through spiritual disciplines, we get to create a friendship with Jesus that transcends wherever we may go. Basic is a landing point, but not a launch pad. Nope, that's wrong. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I knew I was going to mess this up. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Basic is not a landing point, but a launch pad. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I got it. Woo! So at Basic, what we mean by this is that we hope through our time together that we will provide you with the opportunity to engage in spiritual disciplines like singing together, engaging in scripture, and belonging in community. We hope to create a space to establish a community that shows you God's character. And we hope that when you leave Basic, you feel equipped to continue in a friendship with God. Basic is not the end of your friendship with God. Rather, Basic can be the beginning of your friendship with God. if the disciples can survive a massive life transition and still have a relationship with Jesus, then we can too. So that was a lot. I'm going to give you guys a one-sentence summary. Are you ready? Jesus chooses us to be his friend, and when we engage in spiritual disciplines, we choose to be his friend and remain in his love. But what does it look like to remain in God's love, to remain in a friendship with him? How are we supposed to conquer all of the changes that are happening in the next few weeks and few months and still choose a relationship with Jesus? A couple weeks ago, Rendy was here, and she talked about how we often receive God in simplicity, but we live it out in complexity. We often think that a friendship with God has to be more complicated than it really is. We think that a friendship with God happens when we check all the boxes. The reality is that a friendship with God can be simple. A friendship with God comes when we want to experience closeness with God and when we open our hearts to actually experience him. Spiritual disciplines are how we choose God. Spiritual disciplines take time and effort, but they open our eyes to the work that God is doing in our lives and in the lives around us. Spiritual disciplines allow us to experience God even when basic is not happening, or when our home church is getting a new pastor, or when school feels really intense, or when life feels really, really busy, or when we have no idea what the future holds, because our hearts are positioned to want to experience God. And God wants us to experience joy through a mutual, committed relationship with him. Intentionally spending time with God is something that we get to do, not something we have to do. Spiritual disciplines allow us to intimately know God and allow God to intimately know us. And spiritual disciplines become a part of our lives when we want to experience God's presence in our everyday lives. Spiritual disciplines remind us of God's character when we feel super distant from God, because they are a routine that we establish to create a sustainable, long-term relationship with God despite all of life's changes. After I lived in Mankato, I moved back to Cedar Falls for a year, and then I moved back up to Minnesota to Prior Lake in August of 2020. The world was still very shut down because of COVID, and I had minimal human interaction outside of work. I was facing really intense mental health concerns, and my relationship with food was the worst that it had ever been. However, during this time, I remained connected to the vine. I remained connected to Jesus because I had spiritual disciplines. I read my Bible, and I journaled my prayers almost every night before I went to bed. I called and FaceTimed friends who also loved Jesus and loved me. I watched Orchard's church services almost every Sunday morning. I listened to Jesus music on my 27-minute drive to work every day. I chose a friendship with Jesus because I desperately wanted to experience God. Because of spiritual disciplines, Jesus was my closest friend and easily my most intimate relationship. Moving to Minnesota the second time was one of the hardest transitions that I've ever experienced. And my spiritual disciplines with Jesus did not turn the darkness that I was experiencing into sunshine and rainbows. And actually, it was never really about the checklist of things like reading my Bible or listening to Jesus music or attending church. My spiritual disciplines were always about choosing ways to strengthen my relationship with God. And these spiritual disciplines created space for me to notice and encounter God's love and kindness in the midst of this change. I don't know what changes you all are about to experience, but I am confident that God is excited for you to remain in his love. God wants to be your friend. He wants you to exist in his presence and receive his love. God wants you to continue to choose him because he will continue to choose you. And maybe you already know what spiritual disciplines work really well for you, but I talked with some pretty wise college students and we came up with a list of ideas. So don't be overwhelmed, but here's a list of ideas. You can get plugged into your local church on Sunday mornings. Yes, you can get plugged in even if your home church is getting a new pastor. Yes, you can get plugged into a local church even if you have to try a few different churches in the area to find one that makes the most sense for you. Engage the Bible with people. And someone told me this once upon a time and I thought it was wise, so I'm going to tell you. If you're going to read something in the Old Testament, pair it with something in the New Testament so that way you can constantly be reminded of Jesus. Maybe you need to read scripture out loud once a week. Maybe it's even reading John 15 like we did tonight, all summer long. Proclaim God's truth over yourself daily. Identify the fruits of the Spirit in your daily life. Maybe it looks like sending fruit emojis into a group chat so you can remember the fruits of the Spirit. Summarize scripture in one sentence. Take turns sending in one sentence summaries of scripture into a group chat and make sure that each person is assigned to a different day so that way you get to encounter God's truth daily. Practice intentional breathing. Breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out God's praise. Listen to worship music in the car or first thing in the morning. Meditate and pray. You can turn your showers or your breakfast time or your lunchtime or your dinner time into an intentional conversation with Jesus. Talk to your friends about Jesus. Pour into relationships with people who also love Jesus. Take a walk in nature or listen to a podcast about God's character. And remember that this overwhelming menu of options are just options. You know your relationship with God, and you know yourself. There are an infinite number of ways to engage in a friendship with Jesus, but it's not about the checklist. A friendship with Jesus is sustained when our hearts are positioned to experience him. Do you want to make space to notice and encounter God? What spiritual disciplines are going to help you remain in God's love? So I challenge you to pick one spiritual discipline that intrigues you. Invite one or two people to join you in that spiritual discipline because starting something new is a lot easier when you have someone to do it with. Even if it's not in person. Smartphones, you know? So remember, Jesus chooses us to be his friend. And when we engage in spiritual disciplines, we choose to be his friend and remain in his love. So I challenge you to reread John 15 and spend time processing how you can establish spiritual disciplines that will allow your relationship with God to remain through the inevitable changes that we are about to experience. I believe in us. And God believes in us. Pray with me. Hey God, thank you so much for Thursday nights and the time to just feel like we get to be hugged by your presence and maybe by some humans too. God, I pray that as we encounter John 15, we get to remind ourselves that we can remain in a friendship with you when we choose you. Because you are constantly choosing us. God, I pray that as we leave tonight, we can pick one spiritual discipline that's going to help us want to know you more and help us see the work that you are doing in our lives. God, we love you, and we are so honored to be loved by you. It's in your name that we get to pray. Amen.